Welcome to the Freedom Friends Show, where we introduce you to all of the different techniques that you can take in order to make more freedom friends. Those who either help you get clients, support you with your clients, or those who just simply help you achieve some level of freedom in your life.
You got my text. I sent it a couple of different ways. I wasn't sure if you got it.
Yeah, I was looking out for a text. I got it. And I'm still at the office. I was like, I'm just using landline because I'm out here by the airport. So, you know, my phone calls be dropping sometimes.
Uh-oh.
That's all good. That's why I called you on the landline.
Okay, got you. Well, thank you. I appreciate you coming onto the podcast with me.
No worries, darling. Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate that so much.
Yes, absolutely. So for those who may not know, you are Misty Muhammad. I don't know what your official title is. I know you my money person. So all
right.
My questions, I don't know what other people call you.
Most people just call me Misty the Money Coach.
Okay.
But basically, I'm a financial strategist and... You know, I specialize in educating people about money principles, showing them how money works, and then I show them how to put a plan in place, and then help them with the accountability side of it.
I love it.
You know, I'm pretty sure you figured out if you tried to do anything by yourself, you're more likely to be successful when you have a vested partner.
Absolutely.
That has a vested interest.
Absolutely. And you know what, Misty, one of the things that I appreciate about you when I first met, and I think most people kind of get this wrong, or they just may not know. I don't know. But one of the things I appreciate about you is you followed up. I know we did a call a while back about there's a check in the check-in. But, you know, it's really, 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 really invaluable, I think, to follow, not just follow up, but to build the relationship. I felt like you were building the relationship more than just the, you know, simply following up. And I think that was one of the things that impressed me the most about what you had going on is I never for once felt like, well, first off, you invited me out to eat. You know, I love food. So.
I know, right? eat.
Right. So we went to eat and you helped me find a new love, the sticky wing joint. Oh, Lord.
God, they were phenomenal, weren't they?
Ma'am, let me tell you, every time I'm in the city, I swing by them.
I know, right?
Like, it's so freaking ridiculous. It's just, yeah, it's utterly appalling. However, they so damn good. So thank you for introducing me to my next love, my chicken obsession. But, yeah, we went out to eat and we actually had a chicken. You know, you were like one of the first people who I knew who... other than myself, very few people understand the beauty and the art, really, of building relationships.
Yeah.
And the importance of it, you know, beyond the am I gonna pay you or not? You know,
right.
You know, just beyond that is okay. Do I actually like you? Can we hang out?
Right.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I can hang with you.
Right. Yeah. And we have hung out a couple times. So
yes.
I think that's important. And did you have a question before I start chiming in?
I was going to ask you, how did you come to building your business? Like, where did that come from?
Honestly, I learned it from working with my broker. And as you can imagine, you know, being in the finance industry and working with people's money, it's really not like anything else. It's not like, you know, talking to them about perfume or what products they're using in their house. And not to say that none of those things are important, but, you know, people are very guarded when it comes to their money. They have a lot of pride around their money. You know what I mean?
Yes, ma'am. Money
and
is
so
a sensitive subject.
Go ahead.
I said money is a sensitive subject.
It is. It is. Yeah. It is. And the reality of it is you can't, like, nobody's going to invest money with you if they don't trust you. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, folks want to know that you're going to have my back and that I can trust you. And that if I call you, you're going to pick up the phone. And so before I, you know, I guess the way my business is set up, before I can even get into what it is that I do and what I'm looking to help somebody with, You know, the reality of it is you gotta build relationships. It's very, very important. People, I once heard, and I'm really not sure where the quote came from, but because I've heard it in a few different venues, but people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yep.
And that is so true. And so it's like, if you can be genuine and really connect with people on a whole other level, then, you know, they really will open up and they really will do business with you. And, you know, the cool thing is I'm blessed to have friends that are my clients. You know, I consider you a friend, like you said. We've hung out a couple times. We talk outside of business. Like, it's not just, hey, you know, business talk. Like, you know, we built a relationship outside of business. You encourage me. I learn a lot from you, you know? And so, but I'm blessed to say that I've built that across the board in my business. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get invites to the parties and, you know, to the cookouts and to the shindigs, and they feed me, you know, so because I love free eats too. So.
I love it. So let me ask you this, because, you know, that's actually very important. I you know, for most coaches, if you consider yourself a coach, okay, let me say this. If you have a service that people are going to spend over $100 a month on, and you want them to continue paying you every month, right? Regardless of what you call yourself, because I realize everybody don't consider themselves a coach. They may call themselves something different, but the fact still remains that if you have a service or a product that you want people to continue to purchase month after month, or not even purchase, but invest in, right? And use that product or service to further their own goals, right? You have to understand the importance of building relationships. And I think that was just like, I'm just like thoroughly impressed.
Something else about building relationships, folks will tell other people about you, and they'll tell you, they'll tell, you know, because you are a referral. I don't know if you knew that, but someone actually sent me your way, and I'm blessed. Now, I've only been in business maybe a little over 4 years, I think maybe 4 years and 4 months, but I get referrals. You know, most people get excited because they get a wake-up text from Bay. Like, I get excited because I wake up with referral texts and say, hey, you know, you should talk to this person. I told this person about you. They're expecting your call. You know, so the thing is, like, I never see people as dollar signs.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, I know potentially that I can make money, but the reality of it is I want to connect with them on a heart level. I want to connect with them on a whole other level, because they will support you. You know, they're either going to support you or they're not at the end of the day. But the thing is, if you're building that relationship, you're so right. Like, they will continue to support you for as long as they can, but then they'll also send people to you. Everybody knows people.
Yeah.
So, you know, I never see one person as just that one person. I see them as 1 to 200 other people. Mm. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. So now let me ask you this, because you mentioned that you've been in business for 4 years, and was it always this way for you? Like you said, for example, you said you never see people as dollar signs. And I think so often when I'm working or talking to new coaches or new service providers, oftentimes they're in a crunch. They're in a financial crunch. And so they're having trouble not looking at people as dollar signs because they need them to be dollar signs.
Right.
They can pay rent or gas, kids tuition.
Right.
Whatever the case may be. So has that always been the case for you, that you didn't look at people as dollar signs?
Yes. And I can honestly say that. So listen, I've been in business now, like I said, for over 4 years. I've been full-time in my business for a little over 3. So, you know, I definitely have felt the ebbs and the flows of business. And I definitely have felt the crunch, you know, particularly when I first went full-time. But you can't lose sight of your vision and your mission and your purpose. You understand what I'm saying? So for me, money is not just something for me to do. Like, teaching people money principles and showing them how to get a written financial game plan, you know, and then offering them accountability, because those are the 3 reasons why people fail financially. I can never lose sight of that, because people can pick up on that too if you're desperate. And that's a turnoff. You know, it's doing business, people can feel your energy, you know? Mm-hmm. And so sometimes people can see right through that. And so at the end of the day, you still have to be true to who you are And you still have to trust, like, whether if you call it the universe or God or spirit or source or whatever, you just have to trust that the universe has your back and will provide. And so, you know, everything about entrepreneurship is a faith walk, because when you take that step to go out on your own, it's just you. You know what I'm saying? It's like no more biweekly paycheck or however often you got paid. You know, it's just no more dependent on somebody else for you to be able to make ends meet. So you definitely got to go to work, and because you're all you got, especially if you have, you know, responsibilities or kids or people dependent on you. And so, you know, but you just have to, it's a faith walk, you know. So you hear people say faith, you know, fake it till you make it. And I always say face it till you make it. I heard that at a women's conference, and so I borrowed that. But it's so true, because, you know, you just got to faith it till you make it. I mean, one thing you definitely need to do is have a plan. So, you know, if you're leaving a job, you definitely would want to sit down with somebody like myself, or just somebody that you trust and that actually knows something about money and financial planning, you know, to really just kind of crunch the numbers and just kind of look things over with you. And because I think some of that can be avoided, if that makes sense.
Some of which part?
Some of the whole, you know, not having money, and especially when they're new in business and, you know, they got bills and things of that nature.
Okay.
Like some of that, I think if they kind of planned a little better, could be avoided.
Okay. So how did you manage, how did you walk off your job?
Girl, I don't tell nobody walk off the way I walked off.
That's usually the case. Folks say, nah, don't.
That's why I can talk about it, because I have a plan, literally.
But huh? They say we want to do what you do, not what you tell us to do. So talk to me about
it. I know, but I'm here to tell you that is not. When I say you don't just want to walk off without a plan, I'm speaking from experience. So, you know, my thing is, it's kind of like a parent. You know, it's like you tell your kids stuff, you know, you messed up, you did some stuff, and it's like you try to tell your children so you could teach them a better way, you know. And so it's kind of like that. Like, I know, because literally I didn't have a plan. Now, fortunately, I did have, you know, a lump sum of money I was sitting on, so that helped, but money go quick. So, you know, I didn't have a plan passed. I didn't have a plan passed. I have this money, you know. And so, literally, I just, I was
expenses
burnt out almost.
How much? How many months of expenses was your lump sum?
Ooh, let me think, because that was like 2013. I probably had about a good 3 months, maybe four. Honestly, I don't remember like the actual figures, but I'm thinking a good 3 to 4 months. Yeah. And I mean, I hustled hard. So I was scared. I was running scared. So I still never looked at people like a number, but I got out there and did what I needed to do, because I was like, this is it. There's no more biweekly paycheck, no more tips. I used to be a barista, and I also had a baking business. So that was the other thing too. I did have another business outside of finance that I did on a part-time basis. I had income coming in from that as well. So, you know, it's always good to have multiple streams of income, is what I tell people.
Did I hear you say you had 3 jobs?
Yeah, when I started in finance, I was a barista, so I was making coffee drinks for people. And I really think that's where I learned to hone my people skills, mm-hmm. and just my building relationships. Because it's like, even, you know, even when you're making coffee drinks, you're like the neighborhood bar tender. You know what I mean? It's like people talk to you. And so I think that's really where I hone my people skills, and you know, just learning how to build a relationship even over a simple cup of coffee. And then I did have a baking business that my daughter, my 17-year-old, has. I gave it to her when she was 15, and so she runs that successfully. She's actually doing a wedding cake for this weekend as we speak.
Oh, I love it. So talk to me about, so I've got multiple questions here, and I think one of the top ones that I know most people are going to be asking, you know, because you talk to, I know you talk to a lot of people, right?
I do.
So when we talk about building relationships, I don't even know. I mean, for one, you do a lot of one-on-one conversations. I've never received a mass email or a mass text from you. Thank you.
Right.
Because I try to tell people those don't work no way. Somebody like me, I'm going to ignore it. If I feel like you're talking to more than just me, I'm not responding. Because I figure you're not really talking.
Right.
So how many people would you say on average that you talk to a day?
Well, my goal is to make 10 new contacts a day, 5 days a week. So that could be Monday through Friday. I've played around with, you know, because I have the freedom to kind of set up my schedule the way I need to. But it basically boils down to 5 days a week. And so my goal is to always make contact with at least 10 new people a day.
Okay.
So that roughly gives you, you know, 50 new contacts a week. You know, if you're basing it off of 4 week month, you roughly have about 200 new people that, you know, that you've met face to face. And so, you know, I'm famous for starting conversations with people. I also do, you know, workshops, seminars, things of that nature. I set up tables at health fairs because people think, you know, they kind of forget about money when they're thinking about health, but that's one of the number one things that stress some people out is their money or lack thereof. So, you know, the thing is to just get out and talk to people. So anytime I'm thinking of, you know, even if I'm on the phone, like I'll be on the phone at Panera Bread or Starbucks, because the thing is, I just need to be out meeting people all the time because that's my business, people, you know, and I think that's everybody's business. And I think, you know, modern technology has its drawbacks. It definitely gives you opportunity to reach people. You know, a lot more people than you could on your own. But at the same time, it's kind of like when you get that handwritten thank you note. And it really stands out from the crowd because you took, you know, people know that you actually took the time to sit down and write them a note. And I think
technically, the technology will help you reach more people. But most people using it wrong anyway, so they're not reaching nobody.
So right. My
perspective on it is get offline, talk to people, and then use those same techniques online. But you gotta be offline first, because that's how you figure out, okay, no, don't say that.
Right, exactly. And I'm like, you know, I'm absolutely crazy about follow-up. So, you know, my thing is I understand everything is going to happen in its own time. So, you know, but even my social media, like, I still send people private messages. So, you know, I'm still going to be all up in your inbox. But and I actually set an appointment with a guy today that I actually met 2 years ago at a I did a presentation and we were on Facebook with one another, and I just sent him an inbox and I was just like, hey, I remember back when we first met, it wasn't the best time, you know, how about now? And I was just like, I would love to, you know, meet with you and your family. And but the thing is, I really do want to know what you're doing as well. So I never approach people like, hey, this is what I'm doing. Yeah. And I want to share with you what I'm doing. Like, I'm always like, I would love to have an opportunity to find out about your entrepreneurial endeavors. You know, he was telling me he's a director, I believe, at the Black Caucus or something like that. Uh-huh. And but I don't know anything about the Black Caucus. So I was like, hey, I would love to learn about the Black Caucus. Me and my kids are always looking for places to volunteer. You know, I don't know if you guys have any volunteerism efforts, but hey, I would love to, you know, come hear all about what you're doing now and have an opportunity to share what I do. So it's always an exchange. Like, I'm always about win-win. And I think sometimes when people start losing in business, it's because they're all about them. And they're the only person that they're thinking about. And it goes, that's a big part of building relationships too. You have to, you know, if you want somebody to be interested in you and what you're doing, you have to take a vested interest in what they're doing as well.
Hmm. That's awesome. So, you know, all of this, it sounds like awesome. Like, it sounds like I'm talking to myself because it's the same stuff that I talk about.
You do. You're very good at that, too.
Where do you...
And can I just say, before you ask me any more questions, I'm loving everything that you are doing online. I know I don't always respond, but I'm reading. And when something really, really moves me, I do, you know, respond. But I love what you're doing because you are building relationships in a very creative way. And I know a lot of what you do happens all offline, but you have a great online presence as well. So I think people really could learn something from you about that.
Thank you. And let me tell you, I have a great online presence because I have a great offline presence.
Yeah.
It's, and I try to teach what I know and not what I've heard. And I've been in a lot of these online programs. And most of the online people are not offline. They're not active in their local communities. They don't know their local chicken joints. They don't, nobody knows them where they live. They don't volunteer outside of their business. Or, you know, it's like, I mean, it's
right.
So it's the things that I do online is genuinely who I am. You know, yeah. from the cussing to the laughing to the jokes to the slang.
Right.
I mean, it's really me. So, you know, the more that you do yourself, the more that you are yourself, the more places where you're accepted as you, the more comfortable mm-hmm. you get just being you wherever you at. Yeah. And so that's really why I tell people, get offline so you can, you know, be okay. Like, just be okay with who you are. Because, yeah, that's what it boils down to. So, okay, your training, though. Like, you do, I don't even know how much training. Every time I turn around, I feel like you're training. You do, I feel like you train just as much as you talk to people.
Well, I don't know about that. Hands down, I talk to people way more than I train. But so pretty much, you know, we're in expansion phase. And so part of why I talk to people is because, one, I know people want something else to do. You know, not everybody is sold out to the job. Some people have their hands reaching up for bigger and better. Some people just want more out of life, and they realize that the job, you know, what I call just over broke, is never going to give it to them. So one of the things that I do, why I meet people, is because I've always had a heart to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to get back to your question. I didn't forget. But I've always had a heart to serve. And so the thing is, God never gave me faces, and he doesn't give me names, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But I really do, in my heart, I believe that I'm the answer to someone's prayer, because I know somebody is trying to figure it all out. They're trying to get out of debt. You know, they want to save money, but it's like every time they try, something always happens. And so, you know, the thing of it is, you have married couples out there that are at their wit's end, and you walk into their house and you literally can cut the tension with the knife. And a lot of the tension has to do with money problems. And so, you know, I've had people, literally perfect strangers that I've met, cry and say, you know, listen, I've been praying for somebody like you. So I know I'm the answer to some folks' prayers. And so the thing is, though, I don't get names and faces. So the only way I know what my assignment is for that day is just to go out and talk to people. And to introduce myself and to tell them who I am. And they will let me know that they're my assignment, if that makes sense. And so that's one reason why I meet people. But like I said, some folks just need to make more money. There's just a deficit in the household, and they're looking to make more money. And so, you know, we're looking to train people to get them licensed to work in our industry on a part-time basis. And so, you know, they don't have to have any financial background. You know, as long as they have a heart to serve and they can pass a background check, you know, we pretty much can work with them. And so that is the training side of my business. So, you know, once we find people that qualify for what we're looking for, then I train them. And
well,
so
see, the cool I was actually is, referring to you being your own personal development. But that's good, too. But, you know, I think I got, that's a good snippet. No, seriously, the fact that we are the answer to someone's prayer, and that's huge, especially for folk who are afraid to talk to people. You are the answer to somebody's prayer, and the only way you're going to find out is by talking.
That's true.
That was a powerful question you wrote. That's a big one.
That was an awesome post, matter of fact, that kind of ties into that. On your page today, you were talking about that, and how many people are gonna suffer as a result of me not doing what I'm supposed to do. You get what I'm saying? When you believe that you're somebody's prayer, you can walk up to anybody and introduce yourself and tell them what you do. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because if you really believe that. And so it's not that I have a God complex or anything like that, but you're absolutely correct. How many people are gonna suffer if you don't do what you're supposed to do? And so many people who have, you know, a message in their belly or, you know, just something that they're passionate about, and they're living in fear instead of walking in faith. And it's like, how many people are going to suffer as a result because you're supposed to share your gift, your talent, your message with the world? Somebody's waiting. And sometimes we play small because, you know, and I remember being there and looking at, you know, not really even knowing, like, what my ministry would be. This is obviously long before I started working in finance. You know, not really knowing what I wanted to do and not really knowing what my ministry was going to be. And, you know, just being kind of frustrated in that space and looking at people who seem to have it going on and, you know, just kind of knew what they were supposed to be here doing. And I always admired that and just was like, man, you know, if I just knew what I wanted to do. But, you know, the thing is, one, you never know how God's going to show up in your life. Mm-hmm. But two, the thing is, once it's revealed, then you have a duty to go and share it.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. So what is your... I got like 5 questions. Okay. First one up. You said that there was a point where you did not know what you were supposed to be doing. What were the steps you took in order to find out?
Girl, sometimes when you don't move, God will move everything around you. And, you know, I remember, so I have a husband. He was my husband, so I call him the husband. And there was a time in my life that I was very frustrated. And so I was just very frustrated with my life because I didn't feel like life had really, you know, hadn't worked out the way I planned. And, you know, so I was very frustrated. And long story short, I always knew I was supposed to be doing something great. And, you know, I always knew I was supposed to be doing something, but just really never knowing what. And so I think, you know, sometimes in life we know we're called to be great. We know we're called to do something bigger and better than what we're doing. And we don't even really understand how to answer the call because where I was in my life, I was so complacent. And so I didn't want to change anything. And, you know, people think success and convenience is going to go together. So we're always looking for the easy way out. And I really didn't know how to answer the call because I didn't want to really change anything at that time. And so, you know, one of the things that I got honest about after everything happened is that I knew, it was very clear to me at some point in the marriage that I needed to leave. And I didn't. And so I was very disobedient to that. And I did not get out. Well, see, when you don't do what you're supposed to do, when you're not obedient to what you know you should be doing, then sometimes, you know, I call it God, but sometimes God has a tendency to be like, you know what? Since you can't do it, I'm going to do it for you.
Right.
And so, huh?
Snatch that rug right from up under you.
Yeah, and that is exactly what happened. And so he removed my comfort zone because, see, I was a stay-at-home mom. And so... Listen, I was fine cooking and cleaning and making sure he had something to eat when he got home. I didn't want to play big. You get what I'm saying? There was a lot of fear at that time, but I was comfortable. And I was just like, well, no, you know, and we like what we know, what's familiar.
Yeah.
And so being a homemaker was very familiar. That was a role that I had filled. I resisted it at first, but I got really good at it. I think I've gotten good with everything that I've set out to do. And so I got really good at it, and I didn't want to change that. And, you know, he was going out and working every day, and I didn't have to get up and get out. Like, I had a lot of freedom. I could get up when I wanted to, you know, go to bed when I wanted to. And I had a schedule and a structure to my day. But I still had a lot of control over my day because I didn't have to report to a job. And I was okay with that. But I knew, like I said, it was crystal clear that I was supposed to leave that situation. And because I did not, then God did it for me. And you're absolutely right. Pulled that sucker clean up under my feet. And, you know, without going into too much detail, he decided to leave the marriage. It was very abrupt and it was very sudden. And it was not something that I expected. But here's the thing. The day after he left, I remember kind of having this conversation with God, so to speak. And I got up and I went out and ran some errands and I came back in the house and I closed the door behind me. I've heard this door close like 50,000 times, but for some reason on this day, it was just like a boom, and it was like my heart dropped all at the same time. And I was just sitting there standing there thinking, like, what am I going to do? And the words, get a life, came. And that's when I realized I never had one. So God has a sense of humor, too. And so, yeah, he was like, get a life. Because, you know, my whole life had been husband and kids. I didn't go get a life, you know. And so I was frustrated because at the same time, even though that was my reality, I knew that there was more for me than that. And so, you know, because I didn't honor that, then everything was removed from me. So I literally went from being a homeschooling, stay-at-home mom. We did have a commercial cleaning business. And he left, and he wanted the business. So now it's just me and my kids. I ain't got no money. I don't know where my next dime is coming from. So you talk about, you know, you learn to be open real quick when everything has been taken from you, except for my children. And, you know, I had my health, and I had my children. But that was it. Like, I didn't know where our next dime or dollar was coming from. And so you learn to be real open. And so what came to me as a result of that experience and just saying, get a life. And I said, well, listen, I don't know how to get a life because I didn't have to get one. But, you know, I started meditating and just being quiet. It wasn't, you know, anything fancy. I didn't know. I meditate now, but I didn't know anything about meditation. It just was being, you know, sitting in quiet and just listening so I could receive. And the words, just say yes, came to me. And so that was my marching orders. And so in that space, you know, within a day or two or three of my ex-husband leaving, then I understood that, listen, something else is coming down the pike. You know, your deliverance and your blessing is coming. The question is, are you going to be open to receiving it? Because so many people, things happen to us, and out of hurt and pain and disappointment and anger and frustration, we close ourselves off to the world. And what we don't understand is our healing comes with being open, if that makes sense. And we just got to be in a spirit of yes and just saying yes. And so my thing was, if it didn't conflict with my morals or my values or who I was as a person, then I was just going to say yes. And so that meant if I got an invite to go somewhere, even though I'm hurting because my whole life is being, you know, rearranged, that I still needed to say yes, because the person that I'm supposed to meet that can take me to my next level or my next step is going to be there. And I could totally miss the blessing because God works through people. And I could totally miss the blessing because I decided to stay at home and cry. And so, you know, any invitation, like I said, anything, like if it did not conflict, I would love to say I stuck to that 100%, because sometimes I was in some places that I was like, Lord, I don't even know why I'm here. I don't think I should have said yes to this. but yeah, and so I just started saying yes. And as a result of saying yes, I started meeting people that I would never have met. I started, you know, meeting with business owners and millionaires, and I had a ton of questions, and, you know, I just would pick people's brains. But the point is, because I was in the space of yes, I got where I am today. I locked arms and was able to meet the right person because I kept saying yes. And so that's actually how with my baking business, I only had private clients at the time, but that's how I actually got into stores. Because I went to a networking event. And yeah, I'm pretty sure you done met folks, and it's like, because they're a little, you know, they're a little funny, they're a little weird. It's like when they invite you somewhere, you just kind of looking at them sideways because you're like, I know you, and I don't know if I want to be around the people you hang around with.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, it was one of them kind of invites. And I was just like, you know, I had forgotten all about it. And she called me that same day that it was going down, and she was just like, you didn't forget, did you? You're going to come. And I swear I wanted to say no. But even as I was trying to say, I committed to saying yes, then I couldn't say no. You know, I was like, sure, I'll be there. And that one, that whole thing changed my life. Because I met the person at one of those events, that actually got me into the stores. Like, it wasn't even something I was looking for, even X, but they called me because they were so impressed with my product. And they were like, you know, hey, what are you, like, literally, it was like, I'm getting a call, like, hey, what are you doing at 3 o'clock? And I'm like, nothing, you know? And they're like, you know, I got a meeting for you at this market because I gave your product to them and, you know, told them about you and told them they had to get your stuff in there, and they tasted it and loved it. And so, again, that all came about through building relationships and just being open.
I love it. Really quickly, what's your mindset or faith practice? Like, how do you stay in the flow?
You know, that's an interesting question. One thing I learned that totally shifted me as a person is because my happiness was always attached to the goal. And so it's like, okay, let's just say you're trying to get a promotion or you're trying to get to a certain income level or, you know, just whatever, whatever your goal is to advance you forward. And it could be, you know, personal or business. And so for me, though, my happiness was always attached to the goal. So let's just say I had a goal to lose 20 pounds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, typically as women, we'll say, oh, you know, we feel like we're going to be happy when we lose that 20 pounds, yes. Right? And so the trick, though, is to have a vision for your future. So you have to have a vision for your future that's pushing you forward, right? But learning how to be happy in the now.
Right.
And so probably for the last year, maybe I've been studying different people and just reading about different people like Elon Musk or Richard Branson and, you know, other entrepreneurs that are just like geniuses. But that's the thing. They don't attach their happiness to the goal. So because, see, if most of us, when we've achieved a goal, then there's another goal, right? Right around the corner. Like, most people aren't like, okay, well, now I achieved the goal. Okay. Like, you know, once we hit whatever the mark is, now we set another goal for ourselves. So if your happiness is always attached to the goal, then once you get there and you're always setting another goal, then mm-hmm. you're never happy.
It's the ever-elusive carrot.
Yeah. So what really shifted me and just kind of keeping me in the flow is just really understanding that I have to be happy in the now and have a vision for my future. And that really is flow.
I love it. Final question. I could talk to you all night. What's your favorite song?
For some reason, I knew you were going to ask me that. Because I think I remember you saying something about your other webinar. You know, honestly, I can't think of any one song that is like my absolute favorite because I'm just a musical person. I like all different genres, and I have this really weird habit of, like, I'll just bust out in a random song, and I can't sing, so it's really funny. But
okay, do it now.
No. I'm about to tell you the song that I listen to in the morning. It's Meghan Trainor. My daughter hit me to Meghan Trainor, and I love the messages in her song. So one of them is called I Love Me. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I love me, I love me. Mm-hmm. But to me, that's an awesome song in the morning because I love me. And, you know, that song just is like, it's the bomb. So I haven't memorized all the words because I've only been listening to it for the last few mornings. But that is like my song, I Love Me by Meghan Trainor.
I love it. Well, thank you, Misty. Where can people get
thank you, darling.
How can people get in touch with you if they need a money coach?
If they ever need a money coach, they can hit me up on my email, which is MuhammadMisty@gmail.com. I'm going to spell that out. It's MuhammadMisty@gmail.com. And they can actually call me, you know. My number is 443-642-1230. That's 443-642-1230. And that's my direct line. They can call me. They can leave a message. And,
I love it. Well, thank you, Misty. As always, it's been a pleasure. I love when I talk to you. I need to talk to you about some other stuff.
Oh, anytime. I love talking to you too, though. So I was like, I don't know what she's going to have me on here talking about, but
I just was
honored that you asked.
Well, thank you. As I always say, freedom requires friends. So this has been the Freedom Friend Show with Misty Muhammad, your money coach. Make sure you reach out to her if you have any questions at all about money, finances. She is definitely the person to talk to. As always, remember, freedom requires friends. So go out there and make you some, y'all.
This episode of the Freedom Friends Show is brought to you by the Coach Your Damn Self Challenge. If you're ready to take back your power and achieve all of your dreams and goals, then join the Coach Your Damn Self Challenge today. That's coachyadamnself.com. CoachYourDamnSelf.com.